Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. Good morning. I'm Reverend Cora Glass. I'm a deacon in connection with this congregation, and it is good to be here in worship with you this morning. As we come together to know God, love God, and serve God, I love seeing all the beautiful faces rushing in the door to your seat. It is great to be here in worship this morning. This day, we're celebrating our worship series, Come As You Are. So whether you've got a cookie half finished or you're a little disheveled from running in, you are here and we are glad. I hope that you'll take a moment to find the sign-in card in your bulletin. That bulletin has all kinds of announcements about what is happening in the life of our church. And on that small card, you can indicate that you are here worshiping with us. And on the back, check off anything that you're interested in learning more about. There's also prayer cards in your pews. Those prayer cards can be used to let our worship team and our clergy know what you are in need of prayers for. You can put both of those cards into the offering basket when it comes by later in worship. I also want to give a warm welcome to those who are worshiping with us online. Again, we are glad that you can come as you are. Whatever your day brings, we're glad that you've connected to us online. We hope that you'll also take a moment to sign in and let us know that you're with us. I just want to give our greetings on behalf of our whole worship leadership team and Pastor Lynn, Pastors John and Lindsay. We are glad that you are with us. There is Sunday school and nursery care available at this service, and if that's something you want to take use of, you can find a usher in the back, and they'll direct you to where your child can attend Sunday school or nursery care. We have a couple great announcements today. The first is that our Bounce Back Sunday is on September 13th. Bounce back, meaning that we're getting back in the flow of the school year and all the things that the fall brings with it. So also bounce back by coming. We'll have a bounce house that you can attend with a parent or a guardian. There'll be a lunch. It'll be a great day of worship. So please come and join us here at on September 13th at 10 a.m. There's also a Habitat for Humanity spaghetti dinner coming up at the Whitmore Lake campus on September 26th from 5 to 7. There will be gluten-free options available. We hope that you'll come and attend that fundraiser for a great cause and join in fellowship together with us. With that, I invite you to join us for our first song.
Christ has broken down the wall. Christ has broken down the wall. Let us join our hearts as one. Christ has broken down the wall. We're accepted as we are. Love fill his
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we lift our voices to you in gratitude for the good news that you bring. In our life with you, we know that each day we can begin anew because of your great mercy. Because you have loved us, help us to love each unique person as you do. We pray that all who encounter this church will feel the welcoming presence of Christ living among us. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture readings today come from Luke 4, verses 14 through 19. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The next reading is Isaiah 56, verses 6 through 8. and the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants. All who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus saith the Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel. I will gather others to them besides those who I've already gathered. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. It is good to be with you. Here today, it's a special day for me because this is not my last Sunday as your associate pastor, but it is my last sermon as your associate pastor. So I'm so glad that you're here because I've got some really exciting and interesting things to share with you. So let's pray. Oh, Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be measured and found acceptable in your loving sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, suppose somebody invites you over and they say, come as you are. Be who you are, a beloved child of God. Would you like to have that kind of a welcome? Would you go over to their house? Sure you would. Well, I am happy to say that those words are the opening words of our new welcome statement that was adopted by our church leadership board just a few weeks ago. And my gosh, they make me feel good because they say we are all, every one of us, is a beloved child of God. Now, there was a morning when Jesus was just starting out in his ministry. He was 30 years old, and he had preached a few times, but now he was going to his hometown, to Nazareth. That was where he was brought up. That was the place that's always kind of special, isn't it? You know, you think, oh, what's the hometown crowd going to think? Because they think they know you. So he stood up, and they handed him a scroll, and it was the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he found in it exactly the scripture he wanted to read. And here's what it was. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news. Hooray! God's telling him that this is what his work is to be throughout his ministry. He is bringing good news. Well, the hometown people thought that sounded great. This sounds really good. It's going to be good news. Then he goes on to say, well, it's good news. Did you listen to the scripture? It's good news for who? He started with the poor. And then the captives. And then the blind. And then the oppressed. Jesus says that these are the very people who are at the heart of God's good news. Well, you know, the people had been excited he was coming. They heard there was this new influencer from their town. And they thought, all right, he's going to say nice things about us. Maybe some people come over to our town and buy some weavings from us. This is going to be good. And instead, he says, it's not about them. It's about the poor and the captives and the blind. And you know what happened? They got so mad, they tried to push Jesus over a cliff. All right, if you're so mad at me at the end of this that you want to push me out into the parking lot, I'll just let you do it. What, you know, what are we going to do? But here's what happened. When his own hometown excluded him, Jesus then left that place, and he went around the countryside, and he was teaching, and he was preaching, and he was healing. And while he was doing all those things, he was sitting around and eating with people and talking with them and listening to them. And he got to know their stories. And you know, when we get to know each other's stories, that's when we begin to know each other. That's when it really starts to become possible to live out that scripture that says that our very bottom line law of all is what? Love God and love our neighbor as ourself. Well, how on earth do you love neighbors that you haven't met? Well, you do in the abstract, right? But when you go and you talk to people and you look them in the eye, and you listen to their stories, it changes how you see things yourself. And you do a better job, or you get a broader view. So then, after Jesus had been going around and talking with all these people and teaching them important things, and teaching them even that story about loving God and loving your neighbors, well, then the next time that he has an opportunity to talk about the scripture, the next time that he has an opportunity to share God's welcoming statement is in Luke 6, when he's doing the Beatitudes. What are the Beatitudes? Remember, that's the blessed are the, and a whole lot of surprising people. All right. So Jesus went and told the people, this next time he stood up and he said, well, blessed are the who? The poor. Blessed are those who weep, those who mourn. And it all seems like, wow, this whole thing is just getting broader and broader. And he's blessing more and more and more people. He said, but listen to who he added. He said, blessed are those who are hated. Blessed are those who are excluded. Blessed are those who are reviled or defamed on account of Christ. He really is expanding his understanding of God's welcome, or he feels like the people are ready to hear it. I can't read Jesus's mind, but I do know that as he makes these lists, the lists keep getting longer and more complex and more demanding for us. So how does our new welcome statement stack up to all of this? Let's take a look at it. Take your bulletin, look on the cover. This has never been on there before. This is the first time that it was there. Looks like a lot of words, doesn't it? A lot of words, but look at the big words at the top, and it's on the screen, but it's, you know, I hope you have better eyes than me, because I can't read it. It says, come as you are, be who you are, a beloved child of God. Now, let's look at this thing and see if what we think Jesus might have thought of this welcoming statement, okay? Remember that we just heard who he welcomed in Nazareth. We just heard who he welcomed when he did the Beatitudes. Who are we saying, all these generations later, who are we saying that we're welcoming? It says, you're invited to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, where we welcome all ages, races, national origins, gender identities and sexual orientations, all abilities, political perspectives, life and economic circumstances. Wow. What do you think? You think Jesus would have liked this list? It looks pretty, pretty expansive. And you know what? Our leadership board has been working on this thing for quite a while. And even more interestingly, I think, our church has been working on this stuff for years, right? This is not like, oh, suddenly we were this and now we're going to be this. This is a description of who we are. And yet, there is also something important and special about naming it, just like Jesus named it. That wasn't when God first started loving all of these people, right? But there's something about naming it and owning it and telling the story. So I think that we should maybe take a little closer look at some of it. Like, for example, one of the things it says is that we welcome people of varying ability levels. I think we've been doing a lot better with that lately. Have you noticed? Can you think of anything that we've done that's made it easier for people to have access? What about those bathrooms now? You know, you just go by that door and they pop right open. Did you notice how suddenly the cement, as you walk in the front door, there's this little hill if you come in that way? That is actually to make it easier for people in wheelchairs to get on over that lip of the door. Huh, who would have thought? There are things happening here. So we're already working on it, and I'm not even going to try to tell you all of them, but I just wanted to mention just a couple. Now, what about in our list we say all races? There are a few races represented here, but I kind of personally think we could probably do a little better. And so we're working on it, right? And one of the things we need to do is to know people's stories and to understand, because that's how we relate best. And so in January, we're going to have a pilgrimage. And it's a pilgrimage to Georgia and Alabama, and you're invited. Could you take this, Manny? You won't all fit, so you got to sign up first. Suzanne's in charge of this thing. And it is going to be, at the end of January, they are going to go down there and they're going to go to all of those special places that are part of all of our history. And if you're my age, that you remember very well. And they are going to learn the stories and they're going to pray. And they're going to come back and they're not going to be exactly the same people. And if you go along, because how many more can you take? 20 more. All right, 20 more. If you think you'd like to go, then sign up fast online. Yes? Sign up. And I think Pastor Lindsay's going too, right? It's Suzanne and Pastor Lindsay who are leading this thing. And I think there's people coming from other parts of the conference. Is that true? Yeah, we've invited other churches too. All right. That's one. Now, wait a minute. Here's one. What about gender identity and sexual orientation? How are we doing with that one? What do you think? You know, a couple weeks ago, Brian Fassione told us a story from the Church and Society group, and he listed for us three different stories that he had heard from people about what it was like for them. They were in some other church, and I'm sorry to tell you this, but right now, not all churches are embracing this kind of a welcoming statement. And there was one family, I think he told about, that they had been going to a church for years, they were active members, and then I can't remember if it was their son or their daughter, came out as LGBTQIA, and suddenly that church that they had loved, that they thought had loved them, was a little colder, a little less welcoming, and a lot more judgmental. And those people left that church, and they came here. And they didn't experience it that way. Here I have had, first of all, I saw over my 4 years, my job has been, a big part of it has been welcoming newer people and helping them to become part of the church. So I go and talk to everybody, and I listen to their stories, And I cannot tell you how many times I have heard the story that either I'm just the type of person that wants to be at a church that welcomes everybody. That's number one. I hear that a lot. Number two, I hear someone in our family is LGBTQIA, and I want to be at a church where if they come to visit for Christmas, they can come, and I don't have to be worried that they're going to be told they're going to hell. So, all right. Those were the stories he told, and we've been doing better. Do we think we're all the way there? What is all the way there? What does that look like? All the way there to me is that anyone can walk in the door and people will look them in the eye. They will respect them for who they are. Not pretend, let's not play don't ask, don't tell, no. But simply see who they are and then look through to see why on earth they came. And the reason they came is because they're looking for a church. They're looking for God. They just want to worship the same as anybody else. And so when we see each other in that way, that makes it pretty much easier, I think, to actually be the welcoming people that we want to be. Now, I keep telling you that we need to look at people's stories. So maybe the fair thing to do at this point is to tell you a little bit about my story. Because I do want to share it very much, especially on this Sunday. I come from a family where we have a number of LGBTQIA people in our family. I was told by my father just a few months before he died, and he was in his 90s, that, there was a reason that great Uncle Tom never married and that great Uncle Tom had to go and live with his sister because he was actually kicked out of his parents' home when he, and this is the way my father worded it. My father didn't even know how to say these words. He said, and it was that he loved men. That was what he said to me. He said that my uncle loved men. And so this goes back a long ways. We have people that I know and love, and I have watched them be hurt. My brother Tom was born 13 months after me. So we were really close, really close. And we were the first two of six children. So it was kind of us against that, you know, no, not really, but maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. We did so many things together, you know. We made forts, and we went fishing, and there was a day when we bowed our heads together, and we invited Jesus into our hearts together at the same time. Well, my brother was gay, and it was in the 90s, and that's when HIV suddenly was everywhere. And he was HIV positive, and he got cancer, and he was diagnosed in July, and he died on Valentine's Day. So, I don't know, 8 months later. And at my brother's funeral, a whole bunch of his gay friends came. But first they came to the visitation because they were real nervous. And they told us that, you know, they all had so many people dying. And they told us that they had been told they could not come to many of their friends' funerals. They were not welcome. And we said, of course you're welcome. And they started to cry because that's the way it was, you know. And then when I was ordained, when I was ordained, I had spent so many years first feeling sure that I was called to the ministry. I knew it. I was a second career pastor, but I knew. And I went to seminary, and usually seminary takes 3 years, but it took me four because I was also working part-time. And all of that time I was learning and growing and thinking, but I don't know if I fully came to terms with what it was going to mean to be ordained in a church that was not at that time fully accepting of my family. And so the day of my ordination, my two daughters were there. One of my daughters is LGBTQIA. And I have to tell you that when my younger daughter found out that the church that she grew up in, the church she was confirmed in, that it wouldn't really let her be a full member because of the LGBTQIA, it meant that, like, supposing she wanted to get married at her church, well, no, she wouldn't be able to do that. Supposing that she was hoping to see a gay person in the pulpit, well, no, that wasn't going to happen. And she felt like they were just turning their back, and so she turned her back too. So they had, she had, and her sister then left just in the spirit of it, in principle. And then when the day came that I was going to be ordained, they were both there. And it was the first time that they'd been in church for a long time. And it was a big church. It was Adrian. And I was waiting for my turn to go up, and the preacher said something that I don't know if the, what the preacher meant by it, but I knew how my kids would hear it. It sounded like that person was talking about the sinfulness of gay people. And when he said it, my heart sank. And I began to think, what am I doing? What am I doing? Am I going to be ordained in this church where my children are not welcome? And so I started to pray. And I seriously considered just shaking my head no when the bishop was expecting me to come up. But I prayed, and God told me that, yes, it's true. This church isn't welcoming your children now, or yet. But you can do more good on the inside than the outside. And so that day I took an extra vow, a vow that whenever there was an opportunity, I would speak up. I would share, because I believe in the power of stories. And so I'm sharing this very difficult story in some ways, but it's not difficult at all for me. This is just life. I know my family. And guess what? They're just regular people. And they're regular, loving, kind, wonderful people. And so I am so grateful that today, when I'm preaching my final sermon, that I can say two things. We all know that 2 years ago, the United Methodist Church finally and officially changed those awful policies, and it cost us a lot. 20% of the people left. I'm talking in the whole country. 20% left, and they found churches that felt comfortable to them, and we lovingly said goodbye. But now we are working at this new vision about loving boldly and leading courageously and serving joyously. And I get to stand here on my very last sermon day and say to you, this is a church where you can come as you are. You can be who you are. You are a beloved child of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
morning, church. Amen. 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 It has been a busy summer. I was part of the group that worked on that welcome statement, and we prayed and talked over every single word. So I hope it is well received. And thank you, Lynn, for that message. And I am glad to be here now after some busy times and travels and time with family to rest with you, to rest in this Sabbath time. So as we join together in a time of shared prayer, please include the recipients of this morning's prayer quilts in your intercessions. We're praying for Greg and Ada and the Warmoth family. When you leave this space, please stop and tie a knot and say a prayer and sign their cards so that these beautiful quilts can serve as a physical reminder of God's love, healing, and comfort, as well as our commitment to pray for them. Let's pray. O Holy One, may each breath we draw in fill us and remind us of your love and your gift of all creation. May each exhale release from us the stress and negativity that comes from the world of our creation. In the still quiet of the morning, may we find the peace that comes only from you and resting in the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We give thanks for the gifts of the day and the season. We are grateful when the rain renews the fruits and vegetables we enjoy. We are grateful for the warmth of the sun that we might spend more time in the fresh air with family and friends. We give thanks for the ways we can care for each other, whether sharing a meal, offering condolences, helping with a chore, or just being present in a time of need. Loving Jesus, we ask a blessing on all who feel excluded or left out. For those who seek connection but don't know how to find it. Jesus, you showed us how to welcome the stranger, feed the hungry, free the oppressed, and love your people. Help us daily to be that loving presence to our community. Bless all who need healing, including Greg, Ada, and the Warmoth family. Lift them up, encourage them, and be with them in their healing and rest. We pray for all who need shelter, who seek comfort in their time of grief. Reveal to each of us how we might be your hands and feet in a world that craves your universal love. We pray for our church and its leaders. We also pray for our local communities, state and nation. May you give us the courage to love our neighbors and our enemies as ourselves, and to work toward justice so that all might be free in your sight. Now, in this still quiet of this worship space, we offer our own prayers and petitions to God. Lord, hear our prayers. With the joy that comes from communing with God, we join our voices together to repeat the powerful words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Living into this welcome statement will truly require all we have to offer, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. If you feel that you have an offering to share to help the life of this church work into this model of welcome, I invite the ushers to come down to collect those gifts, as well as your welcome cards and your prayer cards. During this time, we also invite Donna Lindberg forward for our mission moment. Welcome, Donna.
Good morning, all. In February, we introduced by video Dr. Tende Menyeza, a medical doctor serving as United Methodist missionary at Kissi United Methodist Hospital in Sierra Leone, West Africa. And we entered into a covenant relationship to support him with our prayers and our gifts through our hands, our hearts, and our resources. Since each of our missionaries is expected to raise $25,000 of their total salary package through covenant relationships with local churches and individuals, we set a modest goal to raise $7,000 to be submitted in quarterly increments. The first gift that we received in February was a check for $10,000. By April, we were able to submit a first quarter payment of $12,322. Dr. Menyeza responded to this news with an email, "I am very humbled by what First UMC of Brighton and Whitmore Lake congregations have raised so far in support of my work. $12,322. That's incredible. May God continue." He goes on to say, "May God continue to bless all your efforts." To give you some idea of the mission work that we are supporting through Dr. Menyeza, Sierra Leone has a population of 8 million people. The hospital is near their southern border with Liberia, and many of their patients come from there. Sierra Leone has an exceptionally high mortality rate of women during pregnancy, delivery, and immediately after delivery, and of infants during delivery and their first month of birth. Dr. Menyeza joined UMC Kissi Hospital as a skilled health worker to team up with the staff on site and help improve patient outcomes. As a result of improvements he initiated, there have been no maternal nor perinatal deaths in the last 6 years. On average, the hospital has 25 normal deliveries and 10 C-section deliveries each month. The hospital is a 120-bed facility serving 200,000 people. There are 3 doctors, 23 nurses, including 6 nurse midwives, and other support staff. The hospital provides surgical, maternity, childcare, physiotherapy, dental, laboratory services, and an HIV care unit. There are other hospitals in Sierra Leone, but this is the only one that provides all of those services in one place. I'm personally grateful for the opportunity to serve as the link between Dr. Menyeza and the congregations here. He's very faithful in responding to emails and sending videos, and I've been blessed with a new friend. He also has our streaming info and watches our worship services as he is able. Pastor John, as you have noticed, is scheduled to lead a team, including Bishop Bard and some of us, to Liberia in February, and he's in communication with Dr. Menyeza to set up a time to meet with him and learn more about him and his work in person. And we will be blessed with an in-person visit with Dr. Menyeza when he next itinerates to the United States. This morning, I want to thank you profusely for your generous support of Dr. Menyeza and encourage you to continue supporting him in the next 2 quarters. We've sent more than half, $14,000 plus, of the $25,000 salary support he is charged with raising in only 6 months. Let's see what we can do together in the next 6 months. Last week, when I shared this mission statement at Whitmore Lake, I asked them especially for prayers for Dr. Manyeza and his wife, Natalia, as well as for his mission work at KISSA-UMC Hospital. Natalia had been hospitalized in early July, and her condition had been very scary for him, but she was doing better. This week, I received an update from Dr. Manyeza that Natalia is back to work, but she suffers chronic health issues, including hypertension and osteoarthritis, and the results of our prayers continue to be felt each day. So I'm lifting Natalia up to you this morning, along with Dr. Manyeza and his mission work, and asking you to keep them in your prayers today and in the days and weeks and months to come. Thank you.
Lord, we bring these gifts to you from our hearts. Bless these offerings and use them to bring the kingdom that you declared to this place. In your name we pray. Amen.
My friends, the day has come when we are indeed welcoming people as fully as we know how today. And a day will come when maybe God will invite us to be even more welcoming in a way we can't imagine yet. But we aren't to be welcoming just in this building, are we? No, we are to go out into the world and live a welcoming presence, because it is not our welcoming statement. It is God's welcoming love for every person, God's love for all. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.